today. Again, I'm very excited about this day, one of my favorite Sundays of all the year, when we're able to talk about what God has been doing through Linwood over this past year and what's ahead, the things that we're going to be doing in 2019 concerning our missions ministry. And I think that you'll be inspired, I think that you'll be informed, and I pray that you will make a commitment, that you'll be the one that will be involved in what God wants to do through you to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today's going to be a different kind of service. If you're a guest, Kevin Coffey, who serves as our discipleship pastor, is overseeing our missions ministry, and he's going to be helping me lead through the service. We're going to tag team this. You're going to hear from different people who are in person through video, and you're going to learn ways in which you can get involved and get more information about all that God is doing. First thing I want to do is let you hear about our Care Portal ministry. And it's very exciting what God has been doing through that and how you can personally be involved in helping families who are hurting in our own community. And Shelley Gerard serves as the regional director for Southeast Missouri concerning Care Portal. Very, very busy life, but she is the person who really makes this thing happen. And so I want to have you welcome Shelley Gerard as she comes and shares with us. Shelley?
Good morning, church. If you don't know what Care Portal is, real fast, just a quick description, is Care Portal uses technology to bring the needs of our hurting families and children in our community to your inbox. I often joke that we spend so much time on our phones that Jesus is like, okay, I'm going to bring the needs of your neighbors to your inbox. But that's truly all it is. And who vets those needs are our caseworkers in our area. They are in the family's homes. They see the need. And before Care Portal, their hands were tied. But now they have an answer, and the answer is the church. The answer is Jesus. So that's really what Care Portal is, simply is just technology. And it gives us the opportunity to show the love of Jesus. So for really what I want to say now is thank you, Linwood Church. Thank you so much. Because in the past 2 years, well, we launched Care Portal in January 2016 at the end, and it hasn't been 2 years yet. But since that time, Linwood Church has answered 515 requests. That's amazing. It's 515 opportunities we've had to share the love of Jesus. And so I just really, really want to say thank you. I was talking to the head of Care Portal over the United States, and he told me the other day on the phone that we have this area in Southeast Missouri meets more needs than any other area in the United States. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. So thank you so much for that. I'm just glad to be a small part of seeing what God is doing in this community. Moving into 2019, my heart for Care Portal is to really build this into more of a relational ministry. So when you have that opportunity to meet a need, how can we turn that into a relationship with this family? Right? So Jesus, we have this relationship with Jesus, and I really think he wants us to share that relationship with others so they may come to know him too, right? We don't want to keep that quiet. That's something we want to shout from the rooftop. So anyway, so that's really Care Portal, and just loving on your neighbors, our second commandment. Becca and I will be in the lobby if you want to find out more about Care Portal and how you can become a part of it. If you're a life group leader and your life group's not signed up for Care Portal, we would love to share more with you. And if you're not in the life group, you can also receive the emails also. Felt like there was one other thing I was going to tell you. Oh, yeah, there is. We have, just in case you guys have a storage unit, right now we have about 8 open requests. And 3 of those need dressers, just dressers. And if you have an extra dresser in your home, you have the chance now to give it away and to share the love of Jesus. So out of those 8 requests, we really need 5 dressers. So that's simply it. Thank you guys for all that you're doing, and come see us in the fellowship hall. We'd love to talk to you more.
Thank you, Shelley. As you've just heard, Care Portal is a fantastic way for you to connect with people in our community who are hurting so that you can meet a physical need, but more importantly, have an opportunity to build a relationship to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you'll hear us say this several times, pardon me, throughout the service, but we do want to encourage you to check out the Missions Fair in the Fellowship Hall. All the ministries, the missions partners that we're highlighting today have booths there, and you can check them out. Life group leaders, particularly, please be attentive to the opportunities before you, because we really want you to find a way for your life group to find a place to serve together. There are lots of things locally you can do, and that's an important aspect of the life group experience. Let's talk a little bit about another such opportunity in Charleston, not too far south of here, Shining Light Gospel Outreach Center. This is a ministry that operates in Mississippi County for the express purpose of meeting the physical needs of those in Mississippi County as well as their spiritual need. This ministry, we have partnered with them for several years now. Pastor Dean Wallace heads up that ministry. He's actually here today, so again, you can go visit with him as soon as the service is over in the fellowship hall and hear specifically how you can get involved in that ministry. But for now, let's take a few moments and watch this video.
Hundreds of bags of food are piled high as volunteers fuel up for a busy afternoon. Meanwhile, outside, a line of people wraps around the building.
We start giving out food from 1 to 4. People start lining up at 9 a.m.
It's food pantry day at Shining Light Baptist Outreach in Charleston, Missouri, and Pastor Dean Wallace is at the center of it all.
Good to see you today.
Pastor Wallace was instrumental in founding Shining Light some 15 years ago, and it's grown to meet the needs of Mississippi County families.
Let's have prayer.
A 2018 report by the coalition Missourians to End Poverty ranks Mississippi County's poverty rate as the third highest in the state. While many families here receive public aid, Pastor Wallace says it often falls short, so Shining Light helps fill the gaps.
The senior adults that are on fixed incomes, we try to stretch their food dollars. The young single parents, we try to help them meet their needs, and those that are struggling with families to stretch their food dollars.
On this food pantry day, 350 to 400 families will take home food to help them get by.
Last year we gave away over 500,000 pounds of fresh produce, and we're well on our way to set that record.
But food isn't the only thing Shining Light provides. There's a children's library, a computer lab, a clothes closet, and church services every Sunday.
So it sounds like you feed the body, the mind.
Mind and soul.
Morning, noon, and sometimes even late at night, Pastor Wallace is here, working to ease the burden of others and make sure that families don't have to go to bed hungry.
I get calls at night. My wife and I come out here sometime at 10, 11 o'clock at night to get emergency food for families that have nothing to eat.
Now, it might sound like a full-time job, but Pastor Wallace says it's not work at all.
This is what God called me to do. This is my calling. This is my passion. This is my life. And there are some people, when they're out of work, we get to meet them. When people are down, we get to meet them. When people are hurting, we get to meet them. When people are in need of someone just to listen, we get to meet them and share God's love. And that's what we want to be, is that light to guide people to a safe harbor and to where they can support themselves.
He really does truly work hard for the community, and his heart is for the whole community, but mostly for the children and the youth of this community.
That's why twice a year, Shining Light hands out backpacks full of school supplies, food, and a Bible to Mississippi County students. And some of those students who've gotten help from Shining Light give back. On this food pantry day, it's mostly children pulling the wagons that deliver food to families' vehicles.
This type of program, of course, when you have some positive adults with them and doing some positive mentoring with them, it's going to have a great impact on their lives.
But Pastor Wallace says the effects that the kids and adults that he meets and helps have on him is priceless.
I'm the most blessed and the richest man in this country. Can't afford to go to Hawaii. Can't even go out of state hardly. But I'm rich because there is a lot of love in this place.
We hope that you will consider being the one at Shining Light in Charleston. We want to shift gears a little bit now to focus on one of our international partnerships. I'd like to invite up Kendra Odom and Pam Cannon to come up and share with us a little bit about how God is using Linwood folks in Kenya.
Good morning, church family.
How are you guys?
We're
good. Good. Thanks for sharing with us about what God is doing in Kenya. Now, Kendra, you've been several times. Can you kind of just update us a little bit on the things that our teams have been doing throughout the years, what things we've been accomplishing there?
Mm-hmm. So I started going to Kenya in 2012. I've been there 5 times. It'll be my 6th time this next year in 2019. When I went, the ministry that was started there was like an after-school ministry, and there were probably 250 to 400 kids on any given Sunday or Saturday that would show up on the weekends. Through the week, it was just really sporadic who would come by, but they were using song and dance and food to draw the kids in from the village, and it worked. And so when we started going, we helped with a building that they were trying to turn into a school. Heart of the Bride is the ministry we go with. And what they do is they partner up with people who are already serving in their country. So they go alongside someone who's already serving and they say, let us help you serve better. And so we just empower them with whatever it is that they need. When we went, Monica had a vision for a school, and that was in 2012. Well, last year or this year when we got to go back, the school was already in place. They have pre-K, kindergarten, and first grade. So the building that's there, we help build, paint, fix, supply everything. Linwood has done a lot of that. And then we sponsor children in that school. So when we go, we get to see the kids that we sponsor monthly, and then we get to love on the teachers and the kids there as well.
Wow. And how many years have you gone?
I've gone five times. So since 2012, I'd have gone 5 times.
Fantastic. Yeah. And for those of you who might not know, Heart of the Bride is the ministry that we partner with. You mentioned that. And one of the principal missionaries in that ministry is Brian Christman, who used to serve on staff here at Linwood. So we continue to partner with him and be involved in him. Have you guys set a date for 19 yet?
Mm-hmm. We're going July 11th through the 20th. And you may think that's a long time to be gone, but it takes a few hours to get to Kenya. About 20-something hours on a plane, plus waiting to get on planes to go, right? So our travel time is a lot of that time. There's a couple of days on the front end, or a day and a half on the front end, day and a half on the back end. So.
Yeah, so July, it seems like a long time away, but really now is the time to be praying about going and thinking about going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are some things that we hope to accomplish in July?
So when we go back this year, something we started last year was taking teachers with us. So we're looking for teachers to go. We're hoping to empower the teachers that are there, give them better tools to use, to equip them, and then just different techniques that they haven't learned. They usually just pull out a book and just kind of read it off to kind of get the kids, but that doesn't work. So we're taking teachers to help do that. And then also we'll take some guys with us to help. There's going to be a new building because the school's growing. The idea is that the school would go from kindergarten or pre-K all the way to high school where they can graduate. So with that, we need people that want to help build or paint or help in construction in some way so that we can help with that building.
Yeah, and I think you said last hour that there were 8 that went last year. Mm-hmm. We'd like to have at least 10 or 12 this year. So there's room on the team to grow. We really need that team to grow, in fact, to have the maximum effectiveness there to reach all these kids.
Well, we have Bible school time in the afternoon. So here's how a day looks. We get up in the morning, and this is the best part. We all get to have our time together with the Lord and each other, like our team. And so right before we hit the road running, so to speak, we're fed well. Monica, who takes care of us, she feeds us so well and loves on us so well. We get up, we hit the road, and we're at the school. Teachers are teaching teachers. The rest of us are out helping the kids, playing with the kids. We go back for lunch, and when we come back, we have anywhere from 250 to 400 kids that show up for Bible school, and there's 8 of us. Okay, so put that in your head. Last year, my class was like 170-something on the second day. So me and an interpreter, and it was a little crazy. But we did it, and so we need people. When we're done at the end of that, sometimes we'll go into the village at night. Last year, we didn't get to do it. The year before we did, we had like a big community gathering where we had a pastor come out. So it was like a revival service, kind of like an old-time revival service. And we did a skit then, so we'll do a little bit of that this time, too, when we go back.
It's good work. Good work. You know, trips like these, there are costs to them. We're very fortunate here at Linwood to have benefited from the faithfulness of Twyla James. Twyla was a member of our church who has since gone on to be with the Lord, but she left a missions legacy. and she left a gift by which we established the James Mission Grant. So now you can make application, for the Missions Committee would consider these applications to cover up to 75% of the cost for you to participate on a mission trip. So this particular trip, I think, is a little over $3,000, but with that grant, 75% of that could potentially be taken care of. And so I've invited Pam Canada to come up. This was your first time to go to Kenya, correct?
Yes, this was.
Pam went, and she was one of three or four on last year's trip who applied for and received that grant. So Pam, would you mind to share with the church just a little bit about what that meant to you?
Well, what that meant to me, I was sitting up there in my little spot in the balcony when Kendra was talking about the trip to Kenya, and she said, we really need teachers to go to help train the teachers in the school. And it was just like smack, because I have been teaching for almost 30 years, 20 years, the last 20 of those I've been a reading specialist, and my primary area of specialization is the low first, second, third grade kindergarten. So that really is just like, there's no one more perfect to go than me. So, but my thought is, how are we going to afford this? My husband had just retired, so we were adjusting to a new financial situation, and I applied for that grant and got it, so I was able to go.
Well, thank you for your faithfulness to respond to that. Yeah, we're so glad that you did. You can get information about the James Grant in the Fellowship Hall at the Linwood Missions booth, and information about Kenya at the Kenya booth. So thank you for your faithfulness to go and for sharing with us this morning. We appreciate that.
Another area of ministry overseas that we're working in is in Honduras, and we work with a ministry called BMDMI, Baptist Medical Dental Missions International, and their primary goal is to help the nationals there through a Bible Institute train church pastors. These church pastors are really church planters, and so once they finish, they're able to go to a certain place in a village in Honduras and plant the church. But in order to accelerate that church plant, that they bring teams from the United States that are the bridge between the church planter who has been trained and the village. And so we go and we're that bridge through the different types of ministries that take place in this certain village through BMDMI. They're just that connecting point between the two. And so Dr. Jim Hoffman is the leader of our team that goes to Honduras. And so I want to ask him a few questions that will help us understand more about what goes on there and the opportunity that you have. First of all, Jim, let's just get right to it. When is the next trip that you're taking?
Our next trip will be February 23rd, 2019 to March 2nd, 2019.
Right. Now, on the trip, it's not just medical. There are opportunities for clothing, for food. Pharmacy people can help in different ways, but what is the greatest need on this particular trip?
On this particular trip, we are going to a state called Olancho. It's the largest state in Honduras. We're going to a town called Campamento. This is the first time that BMDMI has gone to this area. And so we, right now, our greatest need is personnel. We need dentists, doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners, physicians' assistants. And now everybody's invited to go. We have a job for you no matter what, but those are our critical personnel needs this trip.
Right, because you know, you can see only as many nurses and doctors that you have. It limits how many people can get through.
Everyone has to hear the gospel before they access the medical clinic, the dental clinic, food pantry, clothes closet. And so the more personnel we have, the more people will hear the gospel, because we can accommodate many more. If we have more doctors, nurses, dentists, we can see and meet more needs.
Right. Jim, you've been doing this for many years, and why do you keep going? You know, sometimes we'll go once or twice, and okay, I've done that, I've done missions, but really, I think there's a bigger picture there. And why do you keep doing it?
Good question. I continue to go because I get blessed seeing God at work in Honduras. I see Him at work in the salvation of the Hondurans. God also meets spiritual needs of many of the Hondurans. And I also get blessed just sharing God's love in the meeting of physical needs of the Hondurans. We in America really don't realize how blessed we are. And when you see little kids, teenagers, adults get blessed by just the simplest things that we give them, sunglasses, okay, for mothers, particularly pregnant mothers, we give a diaper bag filled with diapers and shampoo. They just have nothing, and to get something, it's just a blessing to see their faces and their response to God's love. So that's why I keep going year after year.
Yeah, man, great opportunity. Many will come to know Christ. Many will be the nucleus for a new church start. Let's say thank you to Jim for sharing with us this morning.
During the past several months, beginning probably back in March or April, the Missions Committee began to think about just a strategic review of all of our missions partners. So we have several of those. We have people here that we partner with, organizations that we park in Cape Girardeau and in Missouri, Illinois, Iowa, and then throughout the world, as you've been hearing. So we've been spending a lot of time praying through and thinking through, and we developed a strategic process to do that and begin to ask ourselves questions such as, where do we need to be focusing on in the future? Things are going well, but where does God want us to focus our attention in the future? And as we went through that process, it became pretty clear to the committee that we wanted to be more involved in church planting around the world. And during that process, it was very interesting to see God work, because he showed us, revealed to us, two new opportunities that are happening where we can join him in the effort of church planting. And one of those is in Calgary, Canada. That's in the western part of the nation. You might not think of Calgary as a place that we would typically send missionaries, but let me share with you just a few things about Calgary, Alberta, Canada that might help you get an idea of what we need to accomplish there. The Calgary greater area is home to more than 1.4 million people. It remains one of the fastest growing cities in Canada, with about a 14.6% growth over the last 5 years. The percentage of population who profess a personal relationship with Christ is right at 5%. Professing Christians, just at 5%. So the North American Mission Board has identified Calgary as a send city, a place where they want to really focus church planting efforts because of that number of professing believers in Jesus Christ is so low. In fact, the fastest growing religion indicated at the last census were those who checked no religion as an affiliation. That's similar, of course, to the United States. Calgary itself has a young Muslim mayor in his third term, and there are more than 120 languages spoken in the city of Calgary. So our team is very excited to have an opportunity. In fact, in 3 weeks, Cliff Crosno and myself will be traveling to Calgary for a vision trip, seeking out a network of church planters or church planters themselves who we can partner with. And our vision is to send multiple teams to Calgary each year. So let me show you a video about Calgary, and you can get more information after the service in the fellowship hall.
When God called us to go plant the first church that was going to be the first in a series of many churches, we went into communities where people they not only earn enough money, but they earn quite a bit of money. They're middle to upper middle class people. We walked and we prayed. And we prayed for the community. We prayed for the houses that were being built. We prayed for the families that were there. And we asked God to show us, God, would you show us the needs of these people? Because we're not going to go and paint their house. They just built a brand new house. God began to show us that although people lived within 8 feet of each other, their houses were 8 feet apart, they didn't know each other. People were coming from all over the world. They were coming from all across Canada, from all across North America. And so they had left behind all of their networks. They had left behind all their support network. The grandparents weren't here. Aunts and uncles weren't here. But they had come here so that their families could have a better life, so their kids could have a better life. So we're living and ministering in the Nolan Hill community, which is anywhere from 30 to 40% non-Canadian. So it's a very diverse community in our city. And at the different events we did, we saw people from literally all over the world. And so with that, we had the opportunity to help every person in every place find hope in Christ, because we have people from every place on this planet.
We said, okay, Lord, if people need relationship, if people need connection, if they need real community, then how can we begin to build that? And so God showed us that that was one of the ways He wanted to build trust through His church, was to build community, was to help neighbors meet neighbors. And so we planned our first block party, and for us, the win was going to be 25 people. If we had 25 people come to this block party, then it was going to be a win for us. So we set up the bouncy houses and the barbecues, and we had a petting zoo and all this kind of stuff. And 250 people later, we thought, okay, Lord, You've shown us that there's an itch that's being scratched here. And so that birthed a real focus for us to say, we want to build a relationship with the community, and we want Jesus to be at the center of that.
You know, we often say that if we had wanted to start a church in which we just pulled in people who were already church, we could have done that much more easily in the southern U.S. And so when we moved to Calgary, we said from the beginning, we wanted to be a church that reached unchurched people. And so we've been pursuing folks who are far from God and sharing the gospel in ways that speak to them. And so God's given us a lot of favor in that. We've been able to see stories of true salvation, first-time commitments of faith, and then baptisms as well.
I want to be part of a healthy church that is actively involved in planting more churches aggressively. And so one of the things that makes us unique here in Southwest Calgary is we're starting with that end in mind before we even have our first public service. And so we've already begun talking within our group that has gathered to this point. How do we start the next church? Where is the next location? We've even got two people on our team right now that have potential to be that next church planter. And so we're already having those conversations. We're already talking and thinking and planning that way.
We are a network of churches that is striving to work together to plant more churches in communities with no church, so that we can impact this city for the kingdom of God. We want to see a movement in our city to follow Him in starting a church planting network that thrives in working together and sharing resources, financial, people, every kind of resource that we have, sharing resources to further God's kingdom, so that there are people waking up every day in their community saying, we want to take ownership for our community. And that is what we want our network to be about. And we would love to have you partner with us to support some of these existing church plants. And we would love to have you come on board with future church plants, because we're already identifying the next community that we're going into. And we would love for you to come in on the ground floor of that, to be a part of us, helping us discover the needs of the people in the communities that God is taking us to.
All right. Well, there'll be more opportunity for you to hear about the teams that will be going, the type of work that we'll be doing. I tell you, that just blesses my soul. When I heard they hope for 25 and 250 showed up for the block party, that tells you that there's a thirst, there's a hunger that people have for the gospel. Another church planting opportunity that we have is in Belarus. This last April, I had the privilege of going to Belarus and meeting with 22 church planting couples. I did a marriage retreat for them over 3 days, and then also spent some time one-on-one mentoring or coaching some of these pastors. And I really began to get the heartbeat of what God is doing there in Belarus. Belarus is not part of the European Union. In fact, it's much more closely aligned with Russia than it is with the European Union. And the window of opportunity is very small. And so there is a pastor there by the name of Dima, and he is head of the church planting movement. He's a local pastor, a national pastor. But Philip Davidson, who used to be a student pastor at our church, has been an IMB, international missionary, there for us in Belarus, and has been the guy who's been making the connections and helping this church planting movement. I want you to listen to a video in just a moment of Dima sharing the vision And we believe that God wants us to partner with them specifically in starting new churches in Belarus. And he'll explain a little bit about that as you watch this video.
Dear brothers and sisters of Linwood Baptist Church, my name is Dmitry Lazuta, and I'm a pastor of Light of Truth Church. We are so excited to know that you are going to be our partner in planting new churches here in Belarus. 12 years ago, we sent out the first group of people, probably 30, 40 people, to plant new church. And many people told us that it's impossible to plant new church here in Belarus. There are a lot of challenges here to grow the church, to plant new churches. The first challenge is to register the church with the government. The second challenge is to find a place to rent for the church. But with God's help, we resolved all these challenges. And since that time, three more churches were planted from our church. And also we helped to plant 12 more churches around Belarus. And God put on our hearts the desire and dream to plant up to 100 new churches during the next 10 or 15 years. How are we going to do that? We are going to grow leaders, new church planters. We are going to develop multiplication DNA into our churches. We are going to develop missional and evangelistic culture. Also, we are going to provide coaching and mentoring for the new church leaders. Please help us. Pray for our new churches. Please come to us and help us to run evangelistic summer camps for non-Christians. Please, if you could, help us with coaching and mentoring new church planters. I believe that our partnership will be very fruitful, and many people will be changed for the glory of God. I hope one day I will see you here in Belarus. Thank you very much for your openness to be our partners.
Dima has a strategy of growing these leaders, developing them, identifying who they are. And he said, Mark, I have churches ready to start, but I don't have the funding to do that. And so I said, well, what would it take to help start a new church? He said, if we could get $500 a month, then I can cut that pastor loose and he can start. And we have some other people who will join him and partner with him once a month. It means that Kevin or myself will be mentoring and coaching that pastor through a video conference. It means that we'll be able to go over there once a year probably, or every other year, to work with these church planters at large in a conference over several days. And so we're very excited about this opportunity, this window. Also, our students are involved in church planting this coming year. I want you to hear a video from Jeff, who serves as our student pastor, and he's going to share a little bit about what God is going to do on this trip as it relates to church planting.
Good morning, Linwood. I'm Jeff Moran, and I'm excited to share with you an opportunity that our students have to be on mission in the summer of 2019. We're going to be partnering with Salim Baptist Church in Samoa's Filho, which is just north of Salvador, Brazil. We're going to be doing ministries such as school ministry, where we go into the schools and share why we're there, our testimony, and we'll be able to do some skits while we're there. We'll be able to do sports ministry in a gymnasium that is close by. We'll be going into the homes of the church members where they invite their family and their friends who are not believers in Christ, and we get to visit with them in their homes and share about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. In 2017, we were able to visit an orphanage and just hang out with the kids, play with them, and then share with them the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. A couple other opportunities that we're going to have this year will be church planting opportunities. We'll be going into one neighborhood where there's a lot of children near a government housing, and doing Vacation Bible School. And the church is already renting space there for those kids to do ministry. And they're hoping that there will be a permanent church will come about as a result of the ministry that they're doing there. And then Pastor Huey, his neighborhood, he has a small group that's not small anymore, about 40 different teenagers that are coming. And 75% of those teenagers that are coming to that small group are not believers in Christ. And we're going to be able to share with them about the message of Jesus and how God loves them. And his hope is that those two neighborhood community groups will turn into permanent churches. So I'm excited. If you are interested in finding out more information about this mission trip, there is an information packet in the fellowship hall at the Brazil table you can pick up. And then we're going to have two informational meetings for parents and students on December the 2nd and the 9th at noon in the choir room. So I'm excited about what God is doing and look forward to partnering with you.
I want everybody right now, if you would, to take the card that's in the bulletin that you have. It's a bulletin insert. And I want to just cover this for just a moment to help you know how you can be the one, how you can participate in missions this next year. The first thing I want you to consider is as soon as the service is over, if you've not gone to the fellowship hall, that you'll go there and these ministries that have been highlighted and others that you'll see are on the card as well will be in the room and you can ask questions, you can give them your name and information where they can contact you for any future meetings or whatever else that they will do to help you know how to get involved. And so I want you to take advantage of that opportunity where you can talk face-to-face with someone. You'll notice that one of the things that you can do is obviously pray. Everybody can pray for those who are serving, our Southern Baptist missionaries that are overseas, and these who are partners in ministry. You can pray about those who you may already know who are going from our church, those who are leading these trips. You can pray about your personal involvement. The different ways that you can be involved. Obviously, you can pray, but you can also go and get informed, but you can give. And to be really honest, that the amount of what we can do through our missions ministry is based a lot on how much money is given. You need to know that there are two streams of revenue for our missions ministry. Whenever you give your tithe or offering on Sunday, a percentage of that goes to the mission work that we have in our church. And you'll notice on the bottom of one of these cards where those dollars will go, a percentage of those dollars will go. And then there's another stream of revenue, and that is called designated giving. That means that as my family and I do, we give our tithe and our offering to the Lord. But above that, we give our missions gift. We give systematically throughout the year. Some may give a one-time gift. But I want to ask every single person in our church to consider giving something to missions this next year. And the reason for that, just one example. Pastor Dima says, Mark, I have church planters ready to start. I need funding. Well, we're going to give $500 a month. Based on your giving, what if we were able to have five or six church planters start? The need is so great there, but it's based on what you give. And so I told him, I said, we're going to start, and this is where we're going to see, you know, see how it goes. And if God is in this, as we believe He is, then I hope that based on the giving of our people, we'll be able to start more churches and see more people come to know Christ in a place where the gospel has been held away from them for so long. So I want you to pray about giving. Now on the back, you'll see that there is a pledge card. For some of you, you like to give a pledge card because it holds you accountable. It doesn't mean that we're going to be calling you, hey, where's your money? That doesn't happen here. But you know that you've made a commitment, you've turned that in, and you can indicate what you're going to give. For some of you, it may mean I'm going to fill this out, and I'm going to keep it in my Bible as a prayer reminder. And also as a way to remind me that I need to give toward the commitment that I believe God wants me to give over this next year. And so I hope and pray that you will pray, that you will give, and that you will go. Let me tell you something real practical you need to do. Everybody here, go get a passport. Go get a passport and be ready. The passport's good for 10 years. Maybe you can't go in 2019, but you can go in 2020 or whatever else. But get a passport, be ready to go. And so when God pulls your heart, you're ready. Yesterday, my daughter Alyssa and I had the opportunity to make a very quick trip. We went down to Starkville, Mississippi yesterday morning, very early, to attend a football game at Mississippi State University. It was there that we met our son Will, and it was a very special game where they were honoring those who are active military and also veterans. Throughout the whole game, whenever there was a TV timeout, they would highlight alumni from the university who were involved in the military. And it was very moving as they rolled out the flag, as they had the flyover, as they had men and women in uniform. And there was a certain point during halftime that they asked those who were currently active duty to please stand. And so throughout the stadium, there were several who stood, a lot of the airmen from Will's base. Many pilots and others were able to be there, and they stood. And for me, it was a very moving moment to just look across the crowd. But something hit me, very interesting. Tens of thousands of people are there, but a very small group of men and women stood. They were willing to be the one to serve our nation. Versus being in Israel just a few weeks ago, where when a teenager turns 18 years of age, it is mandatory men and women serve for 3 years. It's no discretionary commitment. Here in the United States, there's no discretion. I mean, there's no mandatory commitment. It's just, well, if I want to, I will. When it comes to serving God, is that a discretionary commitment? Or is it a mandatory commitment for all of us to be the one who will stand for Jesus Christ, that will stand for the gospel that needs to go out throughout the world? As someone said many years ago, why should somebody hear it twice when there are millions who've never heard it once? And we have the opportunity to be the one. You have the opportunity to be the one. You can do something. Pray, give, go. We've tried to do what we can to eliminate excuses. I don't have the money. 75% of that trip can be funded for you to go. So I want you to bow your head and close your eyes right now. I want you to ask God a couple of questions as part of your response this morning. God, how do you want me to be the one to stand for you? How do you want me to be involved in your kingdom's work here locally and around the world? It might be as simple as getting on an email list with Care Portal or saying, I'll go to Kenya. I'll go to Belarus. I'll help start a new church. I'll give to make that happen. God, what do you want me to do? And I believe the Lord probably has already told some of you what you need to do. Just like Pam Cannon said, she sat up in the balcony and God spoke to her heart that moment. You need to go. As you pray about giving, we're asking you to take the next couple of weeks and that you would pray about what you need to do and then make that commitment. There might be somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, it's been great to hear about what you're doing to reach people with the gospel of Christ, particularly these new church plants, faraway places. But to really be honest with you, I really don't know if I have that relationship with God. I don't know if I've ever really understood what the gospel is all about, about how I can know God, have a relationship with Him. Well, there's good news. Today, you can experience Christ in a very personal way. You may not know what to say or do, but in just a moment, as we have a time of response, Kevin and I will be here at the front to help you as you make that commitment today. There might be others of you who say, you know, we've been visiting this church and we want to be part of a church that's involved in missions locally and globally. that's important to us. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing through Linwood. There might be others who need to come and pray. Here at the front, you have a burden on your heart. You want somebody to pray for you. We would love the opportunity to do that. Father, I thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. Lord, it's so exciting to see how big you are and what you're doing. But also, Lord, we see the great need and that you desire for us to be that one, to be your witness, to make disciples, to pray for workers in the harvest. And through that prayer, maybe we'll be the one who says yes. Father, I pray you'll help these who need to make commitments now. In Jesus' name, amen.